So let's see. Our first order of business, I think, is to welcome Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Bob is joining us tonight for the first time and is going to support the Sangha in San Francisco over there. I've got a number of things on the agenda. Something happened this week which I found to be really helpful, which was a number of people emailed in things they wanted to look at on the call, which I loved. I mean, it's fine with me also if we bring it up on the call, but that was really helpful to me to kind of get a sense of what we need to accomplish. So the things I know about, we've got, Amy, do you have a copy of those two readings? No. Okay. I'm going to have to go get them. Let's see. We can't do that. I've got a question from Jen Y. about reflective listening and facilitators, about from David about a pre-group sit, from Karen Michler. Actually, is Karen Michler on the call? I don't think so. Okay, we won't be able to hit that one probably because that she has to explain that one. And we want to get clear on the key reading and exactly how that's working. Make sure everybody's on track with that. And then,
hey, Dave.
Yeah.
This is Jan. I can represent Karen on that question.
Oh, okay, great.
And also, just so you know, I'm getting a big echo. Is anybody else?
Yeah, we're not here, but we did when you started talking.
Yeah,
okay, I'm
going to
hang up
an
and
echo.
Call back.
Okay, that might work.
Okay,
good.
Thanks.
We can do that one issue. All right. And documents out there that we had sent, I guess they went out to everybody, didn't they?
Dave, this
geographic
is
email.
I have those two documents with me if you will want me to read them.
That would be great. When we get to that part, that would be super.
Okay.
All right. And what else is out there that people want to talk about?
Danny here. I have a very, what I think is a quick question that came up in response to a question from a new sitting group participant.
Okay, great. Who else? David, I haven't forgotten about to continue talking about orientations. I know that's on our list to do, too. Is David on the call?
Okay. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's just kind of go down the line. Jen, do you want to say what your question is about the reflective listening buddies?
Sure. I apologize first because I know I've missed some calls and I'm trying to catch up on all the recordings, so it maybe has been covered already. But I just, I'm partnered with another facilitator for that reflective listening program, and I just wanted to get a little bit more clear. Like, I guess my sense is that we do reflective listening as well as drawing out and clarifying. But I just found that conditioning was like, you know, raking me over the coals with the calls because I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing in the calls. And I just thought, whoa, I better reach out and get some guidance and figure out what I'm supposed to do instead of guessing and letting conditioning get a hold of it.
Yeah, that always seems like a wise move, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My understanding is that when the facilitators are paired with facilitators, that yes, that's an opportunity to practice drawing out and clarifying, too. Is that other people's understanding? Yeah. I think it's a good thing to be doing, too, because there's not really another format other than sitting in front of a group where we can get, you know, practice like that.
Okay, great. And to get a little more support with that, like listening to the resources that have been mentioned, like that facilitator's CD that talks a little bit more about clarifying and drawing out and stuff, because I still don't feel like I'm very solid on those, but I guess those would be places to go to get some ideas for that.
There is. And we actually did a lot about that in the last facilitator retreat. I don't know how difficult to be able to find that part of it. And Melinda has something.
I can probably find it. It might take a little bit of searching through, but it would probably be easier for me than anybody else.
Okay, I'm thinking of the most recent okay. Yeah. Here's Alex.
I think I might have that reference in my email box, so I could probably just send a link to it.
That would be wonderful, Alex. Okay, you got that? Sure. Well, send it to the facilitation coordinator, and then she can get it out to everybody. Great. Good. So good question, Jen, and, you know, just kind of give that to conditioning and see what it says.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. David, about pre-group sit.
Yeah, I had emailed in just kind of at the very start of the whole thing, at the start of the key group, and there's a woman who comes to the key group who has been to the monastery. She's been on retreat before, and she was quite interested in sitting before the group, and so I had emailed in, and the response, the guidance came back from the monastery that that would be appropriate, you know, kind of a sitting beforehand and then having the key group is per usual guidelines with our key groups. And then recently I received an email from a new member of the group who has expressed an interest in coming and sitting before the group and was curious if we did sit before the group. And she herself has a sitting practice that she does, but it's not a Zen sitting practice. She's keen to learn how we sit, and I told her that I would check in with the monastery and get some guidance on that and get back to her.
Okay, good. That's a very interesting question, I think. I wonder, rather than just kind of saying what I think, I wonder if folks have points of view and we could look at that, because I think it's a really good question. Anybody have a take? There's Melinda.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Jan. Am I echoing again?
Not so bad. We can make you out.
What comes up for me is with anybody who would come new to our sitting group, we would have an orientation with them whether they were someone who had sat before or not. If they had not sat with our group or with, you know, with a group related to the monastery, then we would take them through an orientation with the guidelines and like that. So I'm thinking as long as a person received that kind of guidance about the guidelines, that would work.
Mm-hmm. Jan, how do you guys handle the actual orientation to the meditation part? Because it sounds like, you know, this person sits in another tradition. You know, I mean, you have a new person, do you offer meditation instruction, or how do you handle that?
Well, we do. So either Karen or I will meet with them for 30 minutes before one of the regular sessions, and we're going over posture, and we're not saying, you know, this is the way, but we're just offering that as kind of guidelines.
Okay.
How
yeah,
we do it, along with the written guidelines.
I see, along with just the regular how to participate in the group guidelines.
Right.
Dave, this is Cameron.
Cameron.
Yeah, I think in the past when people had wanted help with meditation and the facilitator wasn't, trained in teaching meditation, I've heard it suggested that people, there's a CD that Sherry has that's actually an introduction to meditation.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I think that David in his email suggested that as a possibility. The video, I think, is what is that it? Is that what you were going to say too, Melinda? Okay, to suggest
the video. Oh, it's a video. Uh-huh.
Because Sherry can do the teaching there. It is, that is kind of the question, because, you know, like Jan and Karen there are, you know, established folks who have been approved to offer that level of instruction to someone, and that's not the case for most of the key group facilitators. So
yeah.
As a middle way, I could see that possibly working. Here's Melinda.
Yeah, I just want to go along with that as well, and I think we actually talked about that early on in the program. If somebody wanted to come to a sitting group and the person guiding the sitting group wasn't one of the folks who was yet trained to offer meditation, that it would be fine to offer that video.
Okay. Any other points of view? Okay, should we go with that? That seems right to me. Jen, do you have something?
I was just wondering, do we mean for David, or are we talking about this is a broad thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think we mean for David. Yeah, I think we have to. This is, I think for us, at least, this is how I see it. This is a really big deal. Is teaching meditation to people. You know, Sherry will often say that, you know, that's the highest level thing that we do, and so we want to bring lots and lots and lots of consciousness to it. Which is why I really appreciated, you know, David's question and, you know, how exactly do we want to set it up. But considering we have a way, I'm thinking, considering we have a way for people to get instruction from the guide through that video, that could really work. And then, you know, I think for David and for anybody who's in that situation, you know, we would have to avoid falling accidentally into a teaching role with somebody who's new. And, you know, luckily we have a lot of resources available, particularly the radio show. You know, the people could call in if they have questions about stuff like that. And also, you know, people could always get the encouragement that they could come on a retreat. David, did that cover that issue, or is there more?
No, that absolutely covers it. You know, just kind of checking in to see, you know, what might be appropriate and kind of not go off on my own kind of conditioned tangent of like, well, you know, I can do this, or this is how, you know, this is how it's going to look kind of thing, but just checking in. So, yeah, I've got the... You know, I've got Sherry's DVD on sitting practice, and it sounds like from the feedback there that what would be appropriate would be to pass that along to her and have her watch that, and then to say, sure, you can join us for the kind of pre-key group sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems important that she would watch that before she comes to her first meditation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, that feels good. That feels like it covers it for me. So thanks for thanks for the feedback.
Okay, Jan, how about the is it mandatory question?
Okay, did Karen come on? I just want to check in if she's here. Okay. And before I go on, Dave, I just want to say that, you know, I mean, Karen and I can certainly hear that use of that DVD would be appropriate for us as well. Helpful for me to hear all of that. So.
I mean, I think you could if you wanted to. I think you're in a different position, you and Karen.
Okay.
You know, like the same with Chris, you know, other people who have been doing it for a while. I mean, it really is. I think it just depends on where people are in their training and also kind of in their progression along in this particular track within the organization.
Okay. All righty. Well, Karen and I.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to throw in, it could be not even an either-or, it could be an and also. You know, you could,
yeah.
If you want to give people an orientation, you know, it's handy to be able to do it right there because then people can participate right there after the orientation. But, you know, if you had a little way to lend a video out so people could get it in another way also, I could see that working.
Yeah, it's great to know. So, Karen and I, neither of us have been on a number of facilitator calls, and we've not been on the calls where there's been discussion about emailing folks the passages upcoming from the key. We've read the emails and we see that, you know, the guidance is to ask people if they want to receive that or not. We happen to have a group of, you know, 4 to 6 people, most of whom have been involved with the Sangha for, you know, 10 plus years. And so we're not sure, and if what you want to say to us was listen to the archived calls and you guys will know, we're happy to do that. But we thought we might ask if it's, I don't know, requirement sounds like a strong word, but is the guidance that all of us should email the folks in our group and make this available to them.
So no, of course we don't need you to go back and listen to the archive. Could you say a little bit more about what you're looking at with that so we can really kind of understand what's going on?
Yeah, so we don't know where the conversation came from because we weren't on the calls. Our group, you know, people are chomping at the bit to talk about the reading after we read it. So we didn't know if sending it ahead came from kind of giving folks something to consider before the group so that they might be ready to discuss it or what. So I guess we're wondering where that movement came from.
Okay, good. That's helpful. You know, it might be good to kind of revisit that for ourselves a little bit, too, so we can get the big picture. I'll say what I remember about that. a part of it is was addressing an kind of a situation that sounds like it's not really a part of what goes on in your group, Jan, where, you know, we've got a lot of new people coming in, and we're trying to support people as much as possible. And we're trying to give them a way to just kind of share what they're seeing, not from their head, but from their experience. And so the thought was, it came from Sherry originally, that we would send this out to people ahead of time. And you can see on the little template that we use, it says, you know, it's not about something along the lines of, it's not about thinking about this, but having this in your awareness and allowing insights to arise as you go through, thinking that when they come, they could, you know, have an experience to go by as they were sharing in the group. So I think that was part of it, and I think the rest of it was just, it would be kind of fun and interesting that for people to have a focus for the week, kind of no matter what their level of experience was, that they could then come and talk about at the end of the week. What else people add to that, or anything that did that cover it? Okay.
One of the things that came up for Karen and I is a concern that, you know, in general in people's lives, there's a lot of email communication, and, you know, there's a fair amount of communication from the Sangha as well. Not that any of that's a problem, but
it's a bombardment.
It's a lot, and so not wanting to add a layer without kind of being clear about the intent of the layer, and is it a fit with kind of the configuration of the group we're with? Mm-hmm.
So does it feel to you like people would not want to receive that email?
No, it's more just wanting to understand what, you know, kind of where it came from, which I'm a little embarrassed about taking up the group time with this because it's a function of us not having been on prior calls. But
yeah, don't worry about that part of it because I think it's good for all of us to sort out. Now, one thing that occurs to me, Jan, do you ever have new people come, or is it pretty much just the four or five of you every week?
The latter.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, one way you could do it is it doesn't seem necessary at all to me that it come in an email form. You know, if you guys wanted to be whoever's in charge for that particular week to just have the reading will come out, should be well in advance of your group. And so if you want to just print out copies for people and send them home with them, that would work just as well.
Okay.
Would that change it all for you, or does that not really address what you're looking at?
Well, I mean, there is a way, and again, I'm tentative because I wasn't in on the discussion, but there is a way in which what comes up from hearing the reading fresh and just responding out of that, to me, is as rich as what might arise if I get to look at it ahead of time.
I see. So it feels to you like it might be, for your group, more more benefit.
Yeah, I just don't have any sense that the way we're doing it now is not great practice and rich for folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel completely clear about that. I wonder, any of my fellow monks have clarity?
You know, it just occurred to me is it would be kind of fun. I mean, Jan has a fairly unique situation to try it out and see how it goes. Like, for a few weeks, you know, kind of give people the reading ahead of time to, you know, just, it's sort of like it's a week-long Transform Your Life or Peace Quote kind of thing where you look at, especially Transform Your Life, that's more accurate, but where it's kind of, you have kind of a context with, you know, that you look at sort of, we're just starting it at the monastery. I think it's kind of neat to have that sort of, so I don't know, it'd be interesting to see if that changed the discussion at all.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. Yeah, we just started at the monastery. It's going to be interesting. We got posted on the message board right now. Linda, did you have something?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but just having, I think it was posted yesterday or this morning, and just having a chance to read it and pretty much the way Jen was saying, have it in my awareness through the week as I go into identity and out of it and, you know, just sort of live through my life. And then we'll get to the group next week and be able to
hear it again and talk about it and hear other people's perspective. And this is not to say I think this is a better way to do it or I think this is the way we ought to do it. It's simply that this does feel like a really, really interesting way to practice with the key readings.
Yeah, like I think this session is on, I haven't read it thoroughly yet, but it's on projection. So that's going to be really kind of fun to look at, you know, look at watching myself project all week in preparation for next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Dave, this
is Phil. Excuse me.
Because I think we're, our Sangha is in the same situation in a sense that Jan's talking about. And I believe what the guidance was for us is that it will ask the people that are there, who are all old-timers, you know, for their email, and we'll make, like you said, a fresh email list, and we'll just use that list and send it out. You know, although I feel like we could tell them, you know, that they all have the key, you know, to that the next pages are this, that, and the other. But one way or the other, it seems like with the email, it's kind of a volunteer, yeah, here's my email address.
Well, I'm not sure it would be voluntary. Voluntary for people who are the regulars coming to a group. We haven't actually discussed that, but I would have big hesitations about people being able to express preferences about that. I mean, I think you know, if the guidance is that's what we do, then people would need to participate in that. But I'm not sure. We haven't really got.
I thought in your email it says that we'll ask people to sign up. Does that mean that? Okay.
Yeah. Kind of same. I think it's perhaps that email is a little unclear, Phil. So uh-huh. I doubt you're going to run into that because I think that anybody who's there on a regular basis is going to be, you know, really eager and willing.
Well, they're going to want to. There's no doubt about it. It was just the asking part I thought might help with the situation of Jan and all the emails, and her people probably want to also, but at least they've been asked, you know, then that's why they're getting an email.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate the time you all have given to it, and we're just trying to understand, and I hope it doesn't come off as any pushback about it at all.
No,
you know, we just kind of want to be conscious about what we're doing with it. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, too, because I feel like that's what we need to all be doing as a part of this whole group, is that, you know, not you know, like if anybody has a queasy feeling about something, I hope they'll say it. Because I think I can speak for my fellow monks here, you know, as we're attempting to, you know, create and conduct this program, we're really depending on you guys to be the eyes and ears for us and to say when you see something that you're not sure about, whether it's just a question or it's like, you know, I just doesn't feel like this represents them, you know, so from one end of the scale to the other. Because I feel like, you know, that's our responsibility, all of us together, is to make sure that we really are staying in integrity with this and doing what will really serve the practice.
This is Chris.
Chris.
I have a question. I don't know if this is a good time to ask it, about the invitation.
Yep, the next thing on my list, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay, great. Shall I launch into it? Or?
Yeah, please.
Because I thought that, it kind of relates to what we were just talking about, because it seems like one of the things that we talked about before was that someone who is kind of on the periphery of the group that's thinking they might want to come but haven't quite signed up yet, that they might be able to get the weekly readings as a way to kind of see a little bit more clearly of what might, being in the group, what might be like, and then that would kind of get them in a little more of a lean to sign up for an orientation and come on in.
Yeah, we talked about it being something that could really generate energy for the group. So
yeah.
I actually know what your question is. So I think here's what we laid out. Let's see if I can remember this right. So we have the two emails, and the one email is just basically an email that goes to everybody on each group's list that says, here's what we're up to. If you want to participate, you know, let us know. And if they say yes, then they go on the group that receives the key reading, and if they don't respond or if they say no, then they wouldn't. And they would stay on like a more general list that maybe once a quarter we might send out an announcement saying, hey, we're still going, and here's what's happening now, or, you know, something like that to kind of keep the energy alive. But it makes sense to me that, you know, if someone opts in, even if they're not, you know, regular participants, that they could get that key reading, and then, you know, they could be seeing what's going on, and they could be looking at that, and, you know, it might really kind of support them in participating in a group.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my understanding of it, too. And would that extend to someone who has not had an orientation, so someone could get a reading who had an orientation? It seemed to me that would be true.
That they would get the reading?
That the email invitation would go out to a lot of different folks, and a number of them would not have had the orientation, and that they could get the email readings without having an orientation.
Not sure about that one. Anyone have a take on that?
We dropped you. Sorry about that. It seems like to me they wouldn't. I'm trying to think if that creates a logistical nightmare. But that what we're looking at down in Palo Alto is creating the email list by attendance. That in the when people come to those evenings, they would get signed up to receive the key readings, and that because it really would only be people in attendance who would need to get it.
That is true for down there. We set up a little bit differently with the key groups because they're, you know, that email is going out and then people are responding. It is kind of a tricky place, though, in there. But it does seem, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards it might be good for them to have an orientation because without an orientation, they have no context at all for anything that's happening.
And so I apologize, I'm in Jan's camp, so I think I missed a step. So you're saying the invitation that's going out, is that already in play, written, done? And it has the key reading thing in there? Like it has a, do you want the key reading? It asks about
that. Somebody might have to help me remember, but yeah, I think it basically tells people that we're starting to do this program and you know, basically, would you like to participate?
So that seems like that could be relevant, but you wouldn't actually get on the list of you get the reading until, so the invitation would basically be, hey, this is happening, which, just as an aside, I want to say that because of what's going on down in Palo Alto, the Bay Area, with so much transition, we've had to send a lot of geographical emails saying there isn't group this night, there is group this. It's creating so much interest in the center. So many people are writing, well, when are your groups and what time? And we're like, wow, we should have been doing this more often. It's a lot of the woodwork.
Yeah, that was a part of the conversation behind that one email because, you know, another track we've been on, I think you missed several calls actually, but the one of the tracks we've been on also is helping generate new interest in people for specifically for the key groups, you know, the ones that have kind of used up their friends and family already. And we're thinking this could be a really big support for that because, you know, if somebody says, yeah, I want to be in, maybe they've come a few times, and then they're getting that email and they're getting the readings, and, you know, so it's like a big way for them to get a part of that. It is kind of tricky about the orientation, though. It does feel a little bit, well, I don't know. I could really go either way. Anybody else have a point of view on that?
There's been me
that okay, this is Tony.
Tony.
The email template that goes with the key readings, we put at the top, this is for people who have been to an orientation.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know if, you know,
we must have
if I'm understanding that right.
Okay, that's really helpful. Ramita.
Hi, Dave. I don't see that as the beginning of the template. I don't. Yeah, maybe I cut it out, but I just have the template begins with Gasho, and then it goes the weekly readings from the key support, us in deepening our spiritual practice, and then the reading for the week of March 21st. So it doesn't have that caveat in there. And I also think that similar to what sounds like happening in Palo Alto, that the giving this short reading is an ongoing invitation to people. And I think it gives people a sense of what the intent is of these groups and how our practice operates. And even without an orientation, I think it's a very nice and it's a good way to represent practice to people who haven't even been to an orientation. And I've had people expressing interest. I did send it out to people who had not been in the orientation the first week, and I've heard people saying, you know, I plan to come. Thank you. Please keep sending this.
Yeah, I could see that. It's funny. I think I must have a lot of nine, any type nine in me, because I go wherever anybody says, Oh yeah, that's really. But I could actually really see that because you know, when I'm thinking about it, the orientation is an orientation to being there at the place.
Mm-hmm.
People, in order to receive an email, people wouldn't necessarily need to know that, perhaps. And I could really see the this shows kind of what we're all about and might be helpful to people. I think Alex said something.
It's pretty much what Ramita said. I think that it's like one gigantic peace quote. You know, it's like it's in the public domain. There's nothing about it that, you know, that is any that's giving anything away. And all it is actually basically giving people, sparking an interest in us. You know, if they get it a week in advance, they're like, "Whoa, I want to go talk about that." And so.
Yeah, that's interesting about being in public domain. I hadn't thought of that, but, you know, those emails could end up anywhere. You know, they could get bounced all over the world as far as we know. Mm-hmm. Here's Melinda.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's any reference on the reading section that's going out saying from Sherry Huber's book, The Key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it has some about Keep It Simple books on it, too. Or Keep It Simple books.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
This is Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, this is fascinating, and I can see all sides of it as well. One side of it feels like almost it's a privilege of being in the group, of coming to the sitting group, that you get. I don't know if that's too exclusive or, you know, me being avaricious in the soul of the teaching. And I can see all sides of what's been shared about it.
Yeah, well, in general, my experience of practice is we tend to be as generous as we possibly can. Might that really work for practice?
Yeah, so this is Chris.
Chris.
I had the person last week ask if they could forward the, you know, someone who's a regular, if they could forward it to someone they know, one of the readings.
Well, I mean,
so I told them.
What I'm getting it is it's out of our control. Yeah? Because Melinda just said nice of them to ask, but yeah, it could go anywhere. So it really is, it's kind of pointless to try to limit it.
I mean, we could ask them not to if we were so inclined, but I'm kind of in that place where it seems fine to me to have it go everywhere since the book is publicly available anyway. You know,
let me confirm that it is true that it says it acknowledges that Sherry is the author on that that email that goes out. Is that right?
I don't think it does.
You don't think it does?
I don't see it. I just pulled one up.
Okay, well, maybe we can add that and change the template and send everybody a new template. And it should be our website, not Keep It Simple website probably, but our website, because they can get to Keep It Simple from there. Does it have our website on it?
No.
Boy. Well, it's good these things come up, isn't it? Okay, so Tony, would you mind working those things in, and then maybe you could send it our way over here at the monastery, and we could take a look at it and make sure that Scott all got everything he needs, and then we could send it out as the official one. It'll be tricky, so I have to ask everybody to delete their old one because this is just what we're up against, I think.
Well, what I did, I just took what was sent to me and added the reading for the week. And
mm-hmm.
sent that out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting, like, the whole thing each week anyway. The whole template.
Oh, yeah. They should always get the template. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't have... Yeah, so they're getting it new each week anyway.
I think somebody's seeing something I'm not.
So let me reflect back, Tony. So in other words, it doesn't matter that people have an old version because they get
right.
a brand new document from you every week, brand new,
right.
all the latest. Yeah.
Got it. Good. That makes that nice.
Okay, so I should just, I can make sure, so add the link to the web page.
Yeah, to our website, and also to make it really clear that the book is written by Sherry Huber.
Okay.
I probably need a little tag in there, too, written by... Yeah, American Zen Teacher, that's kind of the standard, isn't it? Written by American Zen Teacher Sherry Huber is the way it usually goes. Here's Alex.
And published by Keep It Simple.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
So I should. So I should write that up and then run it by you?
If you don't mind, I think that'd be good.
No.
Danny here?
Danny.
While you're adding things to it, I'm not sure if we want to go as far as to include a copyright statement.
I'm clueless on that. What do people think? Alex?
Sure, copyright and date. Why not?
What does that entail? Just like a little thing at the very bottom, little copyright. Is it copyrighted? I guess the book must be. So copyright, Keep It Simple Books. No, we would probably need to get June. Yeah, here, I can make a note of that.
Dave, this is Ramita.
Ramita.
Yeah, there's a sort of standard formatting for putting a reference, quote, referencing the book. It's like there's actually American Psychological Association has a format where you get the author's name, the year the book was published, the title, the complete title, and the page numbers, and the publisher. It's all sort of a standardized format. If you're interested in using that, I'd be happy to put that in and send it to Tony.
Okay, let me see what June says, because they deal with this all the time, and it seems like it's kind of up to them and what they want, since it's their book. And if we need it, we'll give you a holler. How about?
Great, thanks.
Okay. I want to cross one bridge that we passed by a little while ago about somebody, I can't remember who, mentioned about like it's an ongoing opportunity, which is very much the case. You know, the idea of that original email was basically just to catch everybody who's out there who's been through an orientation, or I guess or not, and knows about it, but then might not kind of catch wind of what's going on. But once that email's gone out, that's just a one-time thing. And then after that, we're adding to the list as people participate. What I suggested to the folks down in Palo Alto, and I don't know if it seems like a good idea, is to make an announcement each week that, you know, this is what we're doing. And if you'd like to participate, you know, there's a piece of paper at such and such place where you can put your email address. So I just wanted to, you know, offer that to other folks as, you know, a way to continue to grow the groups and grow that email participation list, too, as you're going along. All right. Anything else about this? Okay. Next, why don't we hit those couple documents? One of them we did, there's two, and I think everybody has received them at this point. One of them is a write-up that's it's a email, geographic email that we can use to send out, you know, in the people's areas to drum up interest for the different groups. And one of them is the write-up for the website. And we did one of them last week. I think it was a geo email, wasn't it, Amy? Okay. And I don't really know if we need to do that again. Everybody heard it. Maybe we should do it one more time just to make sure that nobody has seen anything since last time. Cameron, that's the short one. Would you mind reading that to us, and we'll just make sure we're clear on that?
Yes. The short one is the clearer to me of the two. So
mm-hmm.
It reads like this. The Zen Monastery Peace Center invites you to participate in our new and continuing meditation and discussion groups throughout the country and abroad. We are pleased to announce that our facilitation training program has expanded, allowing the monastery to guide and support a growing number of individuals to facilitate weekly groups in their local areas. Groups begin with either a short guided meditation or a 30-minute formal sitting meditation, followed by a facilitated group discussion. All groups use weekly readings from the book The Key, and the name of The Key is Willingness by Sherry Huber, as the basis for the group discussions. These groups present an extraordinary opportunity to practice with Sangha in your area and provide a powerful focus to deepen practice. All are welcome. If you'd like to participate, we invite you to, and I think this is a link, I've printed it, but it says find out more to and locate a group in your area, and it's underlined. So I'm guessing, you know, when you see it on the web, it's a link and you can go to the where the sitting groups meet.
That's right. Now that you're reading that, I remember we realized we didn't have to send it to all the different areas. We could just send one email to everybody and just have a link.
Yeah.
Any changes needed on that? Okay. Everybody's giving that thumbs up here.
Yeah, it's really nice,
Dave.
I think.
Yeah, Marie.
This is Marie. I just had one comment. I thought it was really nice, and I love the way he came up with the idea to do the link. It just makes it really simple to send it out. And the one thing that kind of came up a little bit for me is that one sentence, all groups use weekly readings from the book The Key, and the name of the key is willingness,
mm-hmm.
as a basis for the group discussions. And to me, that makes it sound like it might be years and years and years we just read one book, like it's just a group that's about a book.
Mm.
And to me, it feels like the groups are, you know, much more far-reaching than that.
So,
I was thinking maybe to say we currently use weekly readings from the book The Key.
Well, what do people think?
I like
okay.
it.
And some nods here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. That would imply that we could we be changing it later on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'd have to remember to change it on the website when we change books. Be sure to remember that.
Yeah, that's always the tricky part. Any other
Dave?
Comments? Yeah. Annie.
My copy editor sub is suggesting putting a comma after the word expanded.
Okay, thanks. Actually, that's a good point. It actually has not been edited yet, but it will be. We've got an expert. Actually, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Nothing that goes out to the Sangha from us is it ever goes out unedited. So we'll have to run that through the system here too. So there's some steps we've got to take before we can do this. One is we got to get the website up and updated. Tony, a piece of that is I think we should send a separate email out to all the facilitators asking them for their updated contact information to use on the website.
Okay.
And then if we don't hear from anybody, I think we need to follow up and find out why, just because that information has to all be up and current before we can put this out. Seems like this might be the kind of thing that this email might get decorated. Yeah? Do you think designed? Do you think, would we have Marie do something nice to it? Marie, would you be up for that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Are you talking about the email and the web page or both of them?
I don't know about the web page, but I was just thinking the email. It could be like one of the other things.
Okay.
So nice.
Yeah, I think we should make it look inviting.
Okay. Other than the next part is the text that goes on the web. Other than that, can anybody see anything we have to do before we, Amy?
I didn't actually come up with a headline or subject line, so I don't know if we need to come up with something like that.
Yeah, we will actually. What do people think? What would be a nice?
Michael?
Yeah, Michael.
New practice opportunity coming your way?
New practice opportunities coming your way. Okay, that's a possibility. We use that phrase practice opportunity a lot. Yeah. Here's Jen.
And I had the same thought pattern, that idea go through and then go, ooh, but then, we do that all the time. It feels like it needs to be something that indicates this is in my neighborhood. This is right here.
I don't know. What just came to me as new local groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Bob. I was thinking something like that, maybe that also had an invitation, some of the word invitation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's Amy.
It'd be something like an invitation to participate in a group near you.
That's sounding pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Anyone else? Okay. I like that. Other people? Okay, great. Now, who's going to write that down? Here you go, Amy. Hurry. Okay, good. That was fun. All right. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Let's go through the other one, which I think is a little more complex, and it involves other kinds of issues, and see what we come up with. Cameron, do you mind reading that to us?
Oh, that other, yeah.
This one, just to preface it, this one is what will go on the website. We took the existing text there and added some stuff to it to convey what's actually going on now.
Okay, this is how that one reads. The Zen Monastery Peace Center offers meditation and discussion groups throughout the country and abroad. All groups use weekly readings from the book The Key, and the name of the key is Willingness by Sherry Huber, as the basis for the group discussions. These groups present an extraordinary opportunity to practice the Sangha in your area and provide a powerful focus to deepen practice. All are welcome. The groups are facilitated by individuals participating in a facilitation training program offered by the monastery. There are currently two groups of facilitators. There are those who have an established facilitation practice and who the monastery has authorized to fully represent the practice in this way. Additionally, there are individuals who have begun their training more recently and are facilitating groups as a part of their training process. Weekly groups take part at the following locations. Please contact the facilitator via email to arrange an orientation. And then it goes on and it has in bold writing, established monastery meditation groups, non-bolded. These groups begin with a 30-minute formal sitting meditation followed by a facilitated group discussion. Individual meditation instruction can be arranged. The next bold topic is key, in quotation marks, groups offered by facilitators in training, unbolded. These groups begin with a short guided meditation followed by a facilitated group discussion.
Okay. Obviously, the tricky part in there was how do we present what's going on, what, you know. So that was the best we could come up with as we were doing that. Anybody have any comments?
This is Cameron. I thought that the part that describes the different types of facilitators, I know what it means because I'm kind of in the group. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it as if I was reading it as a person who didn't know, and it seemed like it might be confusing if they were trying to figure out what these groups were, and it just seemed a little confusing to me.
A little confusing. Okay,
yes.
Amy.
I was just going to say that I actually rework this a little bit, but I don't have that copy with me. I'm trying to recall. It pretty much serves the same thing. It is worded a little differently.
Because I'm really clear. I don't know if I have too much information, but it seems quite clear to me. You know, the only thing I think is that I think we need a different skill. It feels like key groups is just what we started calling them, but that would be way confusing because what do you mean key groups? I thought you were all using the key, and what about when we sit?
Amy and I went all around and around. Do you remember, Amy, around and around and around about that? Like, what do we call it? Because we've got meditation groups, and what do we, you know, yeah, discussion. We that's one thing we talked about was meditation groups and discussion groups. But there, you know, there is meditation kind of at a part of the key group. So I don't know. That was one thing we had a big question mark about. Here's Melinda.
Well, and there's one thing that occurs to me, and I don't know if it's clear from what you just read, but it's how, so people, there's only going to be one kind of group in a person's area, except perhaps in Athens, where there's one of each. And I wonder if it's clear that, if that's clear, yeah, if that's clear. So somebody in, you know, Okefenokee wants to go to a group, will it be clear which kind of group they're going to?
I think it would because it has two lists. They're listed completely separate, and it makes it clear at the top that this is a, you know, established group that offers meditation. This is a key group that, yeah. Amy?
Dave?
Danny.
I'm wondering if it might help make it more clear by taking that description about there are currently two groups of facilitators. Move each of the two following sentences down below into the descriptions of each of the groups.
Yeah, we tried that, didn't we, Amy? Yeah, it could very well be. We reached kind of, it was funny, it was just such a puzzle. And I can't really describe why it was such a puzzle, but it was just such a puzzle that how do we convey that information to have it be really clear and keep, like, the name straight? And it was, because I think it is in a way, it's sort of splitting hairs a little bit. And so, like, how do you actually flesh it out enough that, but we could definitely try that again. I'll tell you.
Dave, this is Jan.
Okay, go ahead, Jan.
And this may be, you know, more of that you haven't been on the calls and, you know, we've already talked about this, but maybe it's fresh eyes. I look at this and I think for a recipient of this, why do they need to know the difference? I mean, you know, you go to your first Zen retreat and you don't know what's going to happen there. It's important to us internally to distinguish maybe between folks who can, you know, guide somebody in meditation practice for starters and somebody who can't. So, again, maybe I missed the conversation, but why does it matter what the level of the facilitator is?
I think that's a great question, and I was hoping we'd look at that. I had actually two big questions. One was that. The other one was, if we end up going with this the way we're doing it, is the way it's presented supportive or unsupportive to the key groups? That was a big concern I was having as we were doing it. So let me take one more comment from Michael, and then maybe we can start addressing some of those big points, because that feels like what you just said, Jan, is kind of the crux of the matter for me. Michael?
I mean, part of Zen is you show up and you don't know what's going to happen, so.
Yeah. I'll put you off for a second, Michael. So let me tell you what the history is. That the way we got here is that the thinking was it's important for the people who are coming to the groups to know that the person who's guiding the group is not a guide. And that's how we ended up in this place, because it really is different. You know, everyone's at a different kind of place in their training as facilitators. You know, like, you know, you guys are in one place. You know, there's couple groups are just now starting up, and a part of it was so as not to put undue pressure on people facilitating groups who are really not in a position to be under that kind of pressure. You know, originally when we started off, we didn't advertise these at all for that very reason. You know, people will come, they'd invite their friends and family. Everyone would know, you know, I'm just doing this because it's good for me, because I want to practice this. If you want to come help me do this, you know, practice in this way, that'd be great. And so we're trying to move it out of that into a broader context where everyone, but without, this is the idea, and I'm not sure it's necessary, but this is the idea, without losing the piece of information that I'm in training, and so I don't necessarily represent the practice in the way that it would be right to represent the practice.
Two things come up for me. One is, you know, I don't consider myself the guide or even a guide. I consider myself, you know, somebody who's wants to practice in a way that pushes me up against it in the way that facilitation does. And the other thing is, I'm not sure it's not just fine for people to feel that pressure. You know, I've felt that pressure. I still feel that pressure. A lot of us have felt that pressure. That's part of what keeps me awake, is to feel the pressure of representing the practice. So I don't know. You know, Sherry, the line that comes to me, we'll do for the love of others what we won't do for ourselves. And to me, that's like I'll be as awake as I can be, and if I screw up, that's my practice. And if somebody else is present when I do that, that's kind of what we all deal with. So,
yeah. Well, what comes up for me, a couple things. One is, the main thing that I see about that is the monastery, and Sherry in particular, sees you and Karen as people qualified to represent the practice at that level. It's
okay.
Not so much about trying to save people from feeling pressure, because
mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think that's really good for people, and I can guarantee you people are feeling the pressure. More about putting people in positions to take responsibility for the practice without having the sufficient training for that, and really kind of putting them in a challenging, on one level, or just a challenging situation, and on another level, a situation that has a lot of karmic repercussions. You know, so if I know, this was the thinking, if I know that the person I'm going to in this group is in training, I look at that person a lot different than if I know this person is off of practice. And we were thinking that would actually serve the practice and would the more safeguard then than just kind of just letting people loose and figuring it's going to be all right.
Okay, and, you know, and I'm kind of resting, and we're all doing reflective listening, so, you know, it's hard to screw up if we are. And I hope I'm not, you know, stirring the pot and people aren't going, how did this person get on the call and asking all these questions? But, you know, if we're all doing reflective listening, and to me that is part of the pressure, that somebody asks me a question, and in my mind I say, oh, my gosh, this is a really big question. It's a spiritual issue. What do I do? And what I do if I'm awake is I go to reflective listening. I don't try to answer it, and that's my training. So, again, I'm not pushing back. I'm just kind of looking at all of it. So
I really get that, being a thorn. No, it's actually really appreciated to stir the pot in this way, because I feel like this is how we get really rich discussions. So just to play the devil's advocate for you a little bit on that. So you know that if you get in a hard place, you're going to go to reflective listening.
Yeah.
That's the training. That's why you're trusted to be in that position. And this is not anything that implies anything about anybody else on the call, but that does take a lot of training. You know, that takes a lot of presence to have that understanding and that kind of and that attitude of mind and that kind of understanding of what the refuge is and what's appropriate. I think the idea was, as people start off, I don't know how well you remember when you started off, Jan, and actually it probably was a very different situation when you did start off, but, you know, are people actually, when they start off, in a position where they get into a really tight spot, that they're going to go to that, or is something else going to happen?
Gotcha. Okay. I hear you. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, my, we're almost out of time. Shoot, we're right in the middle of something good. Let me take just another minute. Any other comments on this from folks who are listening in that might be relevant before we stop? And we can bring this up again another call. Here's Jan.
Dave, this is Cameron. I was thinking one distinction that seems clear is that one's a meditation group and the other is a discussion group.
Yeah, we can play with that. You know, Amy, how about if we see if we can fit that in? We tried that, but for some reason we abandoned it. I can't remember why. Jen.
I was just going to say that I think it's a really, really good discussion. I think every discussion like that, the earlier one too, just helps to heighten our awareness about what a really big deal this is that we're doing. And, you know, on the one hand, you know, we walk into it lightly and, you know, no reviews and all that, and on the other hand, it's huge what we're doing, and to really give it the gravity that it has.
Yeah, and I really appreciate just having it out there like that. It's like stirring the pot, you know, because, boy, stuff comes up, and I think it's good for all of us to be looking at. Did you have something? No.
Well, and I just want to throw it, I think some, and I hear you saying people feel a level of pressure. And I think a level of pressure is appropriate.
Yep, for sure. Yep. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement about that. And, you know, yeah, and people often talk about that on the calls, actually. You know, just, oh, my God, look what's going on, and help. Okay, well, unfortunately, we're out of time, so I think this will come up again next week because we'll have to continue with the thing. So that's good. I think I'm feeling grateful for this process tonight because I've really enjoyed this call, and it's a really different thing to try to create something all by yourself and to do it in a group. And I appreciate when a question is put out and, you know, just a lot of people say stuff, you know, and we all work at it together and come up with something that really works, because it feels like it helps to have all those points of view so we can make sure we can get the right thing. So thank you for that. So we don't have I was going to say for next week, but we don't have a call for next week, I don't believe. I think our next one is April the 2nd at 5:30 on Friday. On that call, we'll continue this discussion. Lisa has worked on the flyers for us, so we need to work on that, getting the flyers ready for people to put out. And then the other thing that's on our business list, and of course we can... Oh, shoot, Danny, I forgot about your quick question. Hang on a second. The other thing that we can work on a business level is we want to come up with an email that goes out about orientation, that invites people to orientation and gives them the guidelines before they come. Danny, what's your real quick question?
somebody came to group last week for the first time, and she, after that, emailed me to ask if it would be okay if she came for the meditation but left before the discussion.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah, I think the answer would be no.
Okay.
All right, good. That was a quick question. All right, thanks a lot for your participation, everybody. That was really, really helpful. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. And, you know, in between, you know, since we're not going to have as many calls for this next little week, if you get stuck and need something, you know, give us an email, and we'll see if we can sort it out. Bye.